This program is brought to you by MyTech1 and by Entelix.
The content, information, and opinions expressed during the related show are those of the show personalities and guest alone, and not those of Vic Kanellis Media Group, its parent, affiliates, or stations. VCMG Live is not responsible for any content, information, or opinions expressed. User bears full responsibility for their reliance on such content, information, or opinions.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. And the goal of our program is to provide community leaders here in South Florida a voice on how they are helping the community in a digital, hybrid, in-person world. We also want to educate the local community on how these community leaders and associated organizations are working with people in our area. We want to be the connective tissue with the South Florida industry to encourage collaboration, foster relationships, and improve fundraising and grant opportunities. We hope to create a more vibrant community so all businesses in South Florida can thrive. Thank you for joining us.
In today's digital world, security is everything. But who's protecting your business from cyber threats? At MyTech1, we specialize in cutting-edge cybersecurity and managed services that keep you safe, secure, and operational 24/7. Visit MyTech1, MyTechOne.com or call 1-844-MyTech1. That's 844-648-3241. Your trusted partner in cybersecurity.
Need reliable office solutions? DEX Imaging provides top-notch printers, copiers, and document management systems, along with cutting-edge software solutions to streamline your business workflows. Trust DEX Imaging for innovative technology and exceptional service. DEX Imaging, your partner in office productivity and your organization's profitability. For more information, call Tiffany Salas with DEX Imaging at 561-948-6363, extension 1339, or 954-643-0906.
Workplace violence is on the rise, and no industry is immune from it. Survival Response helps organizations prevent and prepare for unthinkable situations. Our program focuses on prevention as well as response, and we provide customized programs based on your unique situation. Visit us at www.survivalresponsellc.com for more information and to schedule a free consultation.
Do you have an aging parent who needs a helping hand? Look no further. Wisdom Senior Care is here to make life easier. From shopping trips to personal care, we got you covered. Whether it's companionship, Alzheimer's and dementia care, or just a little extra help, we're your trusted partner. At Wisdom Senior Care, we bring the joy back to daily life. Call us today at 954-779-5989 and let us take care of you and your loved ones. Because with us, you're family.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. I'm your host, David N. Reese. And I'd like to thank you for giving time out of your busy schedule to hear from some of the top players here in the South Florida community. As always, guests, I'm coming up with people out of the woodworks. No different this time. I came across one of my old buddies and found out what he's doing these days. And of course, as an entrepreneur, I am so excited to have him come on the show. And his name is Sean Tuffert. Sean, tell us a little bit about yourself and why we should use and get involved with you.
Well, David, I grew up in a family business. My dad started all the way back in 1958. We carry those values into absolutely everything that we do. A lot of people ask, like, how do you get your clients? How do you choose who you're going to work with? And we have one thing that we stick with. When we first started out doing what we're doing, man, we took business wherever we could get it. We were just so desperate for revenue. Lots of entrepreneurs go through that. But now if when I meet with a client, if I wouldn't invite them to my house, leave them alone with my kids or my dog, I don't take their money. So that tells you a little bit about me. I'm 57 years old. I was a mining executive for most of my career. Took the big jump into being an entrepreneur when I turned 50 and never looked back. God humbled me through the process. There were lots of really, really frightening months, some very terrifying weeks. And I had those nights where I was walking the streets wondering how I was going to make payroll. My wife and I actually took turns calling the power company to tell them, please don't cut off our power. But we finally found the magic sauce. God tenderized me enough. And now we've got a great business and we're trying to help as many people as we can.
Very, very good start on the whole process. Now, Sean, a lot of my listeners are, of course, from here in beautiful South Florida, but I'd like to find out a little bit more about you and where you're from and how you got engaged in that way.
As I told you before, it's a good question. I actually grew up in the door-to-door vacuum cleaner business back in Nova Scotia. I know it sounds funny, but it wasn't just the door-to-door vacuum cleaner business. It was our family business. And at one point, my dad had hundreds of salespeople going door-to-door. That's why my dad's name is on our sign. It's not just an ego thing. It's pride. I never want to see my dad's name in a bad light. And little did I know growing up, but that 800 number on the belly of every vacuum cleaner his guy sold actually rang in our house. He taught me at a very young age, if you wouldn't sell your closest friends, you shouldn't be selling it to strangers. And by putting his own home number on hundreds of thousands of those units, he was showing his customers that he cared about them, often many years after they did business with him. And we carry that tradition to this day. It's where we treat all of our customers like family, and the people who work with us. You know, I say to everybody, if I can't treat you like family, I shouldn't be doing business with you. And that's not just a tagline. We really mean it.
Very good. And thank you for sharing all that good stuff, because I enjoy hearing what's what. Now, I normally save this for a little bit later on, but I think it's important that my listeners hear it from you now. What are some of the strengths or weaknesses that you find being an entrepreneur, and what advice can you give to some of these entrepreneurs getting ready to get started?
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest advice I can give is to don't overthink it. One of the best things Dad ever told me when I was first starting this business, when I had this crazy idea, I went to my dad and I said, Dad, like, what do you think about this? And I had all these spreadsheets, I had all these Excel projections and all this other baloney. And all he said was, Sean, just go try it. He said, just try selling one. He said, don't make all of these images of grandeur and everything else. Well, in first month, we're going to have this many clients. Next month, we're going to have this. He said, you don't know if you're going to get any. So just start with one thing and don't overthink it. Just try it. And that's the best advice I can give to any entrepreneur out there. Like, you see all these courses entrepreneurs take and they talk about, you know, projections. Never mind that you're going to sell a million of your widgets. You got to find out if even one person even wants the darn things. And the other thing is that, no, you're going to get beat up. God's got a sense of humor. You're going to find problems you never knew existed, and you're going to find solutions. And the business you originally thought you had might not even be the business that you end up with, but you'll find the path you were supposed to be on.
So, again, the Suffered Group, the company, how the philosophy of it, I'd like to know that a little bit better. You know, I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You have your family engaged. I know a lot of my listeners, they have their families engaged and understanding what that looks like. You gave us a little idea when you mentioned your father's name and how the family's name carries over. But what more can you share with my listeners as far as maybe helping them get funding if they need it or anything else you can think of?
Well, as far as the funding and all that stuff goes, I mean, that's if I don't know, like it's David, I was really lucky because I had a business that we could just sort of figure out as we went along. But as far as funding and other things like that for new entrepreneurs going out, I can't stress enough that if you can't go to your own family, and I know that, you know, people that are already struggling can't help other people that are struggling financially. But if you've got something that you absolutely believe in with your heart and soul, you shouldn't be trying to get money from faraway places. I see this so often. You know, I had a company a little while ago. They came to me. They said, do you have any contacts in Boston? I hear there's, you know, investment bankers and that in Boston that play in this space. And I always say to them, like, you live in a small town. You know, if this is that valuable, if you believe in it that much, why are you going to Boston? Like, just start in your own hometown. Go to the business leaders in your town, because if you wouldn't sell it to them, you shouldn't be selling it to anybody else. And that's where those family values come from. That even if whether it's a used car, a vacuum cleaner, it doesn't matter. A service, it doesn't matter. It could be Amway, it could be whatever the heck you want. But if you couldn't sell it, or you're afraid to sell it to somebody you care about, you shouldn't be selling it to strangers. Nor should you be taking money from strangers to be able to fund your dream.
Okay, I love it. Sounds like you're onto something here. Now, break down this Suffered Group. I mean, I know you do more than one thing, but give my listeners an understanding. What is the Suffered Group?
Well, it's interesting, David. First of all, I thought you were going to follow the questions that you sent me. I was all set for those questions. I really was. But what our company does in a nutshell is that we identified that every organization on the planet, whether it be a company or just any type of an organization, association, a member list, a patient list, everybody out there that has a contact list doesn't realize it, but their contact lists are complete disasters. It's the best list that we ever started with. Was 60% messed up, full of errors, deceased people, misspelled stuff, wrong emails, wrong telephone numbers, and we're the only company on the planet that cleans up those lists. That's our core business, right? And what's funny is it's one of the questions that you sent me is you said what inspired us to do what we're doing. It's fascinating, and this goes back to what I said earlier. Sometimes it doesn't even end up being the business that you started with. But earlier in my career, I was a sales trainer, and I was hired by various companies and dealerships across the country to work with their people, come up with new ideas to increase sales. And I used to say to people all the time, because it always made me look like I knew what I was doing. Like if I went to some company and they said, how are you going to increase our sales? They always expected me to be either a good closer, a good presenter or something like that. Nah, my secret weapon was give me all of your old customers you haven't talked to in 20 or 30 years. And I'm going to call all of those ones first. And because it's funny, you know, the best customers you can find are they're the ones that you already have. And I tell people like, you've been in business for 30 or 40 years. You've got stacks and stacks of old customer lists. Why don't you just get your team to call them all? And this inevitably led to nobody picks up the phone anymore. And it was sad in a way because a lot of those companies were really struggling to survive, but they were so afraid of rejection, they avoided the very solution that they needed. They had boxes and boxes of old files full of people who already liked them. So we started this business by trying to revitalize past customers. We used to joke, you know, we're going to bring them back from the dead type of thing, right? But we'd make gentle calls just to see if their old customers needed anything. And David, we generated a lot of business from people who already loved them. But this is where it gets funny, because I would go out and get all these customers for my wife to do all the calls for. And I'd sometimes they didn't even have them electronically. They'd have them in old dusty banker boxes. You know, we had clients that hadn't even digitized their contact lists. So my wife was at home. I'd be constantly calling her because I was on the road in the mining business. And I'd say, hey, how are those outreaches going? And she'd scream back at me, why do you keep giving me all these companies where their companies, the lists are a disaster? It takes me weeks just to clean up the list before I can even make one phone call. And she told me for years, David, that said, why aren't we just cleaning up the lists? And I said to her for years, no one will ever pay for just that. They want the leads. They want the leads. And then one day I was pitching a big Peterbilt truck group. I had all the testimonials from my little mom and pop stores. Like created this many sales leads, this many service leads. It was all this stuff. And then that big dealer group guy, he said, Sean, he said, no hard feelings. I have 1,000 employees. The last thing I need is anybody else on the telephone. But then I thought, okay, I'm done here. And he said, but what I am interested in is the last page on your PowerPoint. And David, my heart rate went to about 150, thinking the last page had my name.
I can imagine. Right? I know that. But, know that feeling.
But it was one little line in that PowerPoint that said, by the way, after we finish contacting all of your customers, you end up with a pristine customer list. And he said, Sean, if your company can do that, I'm really interested. And that's what changed our whole business. We went from trying to get leads to realizing there was a heck of a need of just cleaning up those contact lists. And that's what we do today.
Now, you've mentioned Peterbilt. Do you have any other customers that you want to share? Because I'm looking for your ideal customer so that my listeners can help you do your job better.
Well, it's interesting, David, that you say that, because the reason we started with the heavy truck dealers is actually kind of funny. And that is because the truckers are all home. They're all sitting in their truck, right? And it was the hardest time that we had was that we had people on the phone and they were calling you. We had Kenworth dealerships, international dealerships. We had all these, you know, heavy truck dealers. And our folks would make a nice gentle call and it would say, hey, David, how you doing? It's Christy calling for Peterbilt, blah, 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 blah. Right? We're just calling to touch base, see how you're doing and to update our contact list. And in doing so, we couldn't get for people to hang up. They were so excited to hear from somebody from that store that sometimes the calls were like, I remember we had a dealer one day. He said, Sean, he said, well, I was going through your reports, love all the feedback, but he said, you're not reaching near the amount of people that we thought you would be able to reach. And I said, John, do you realize that 85% of the people that our folks spoke to actually booked a service appointment, and he shut the heck up. He said, you got to be kidding. And I said, no. I said, it even shocked us. I said, as a matter of fact, your service manager called us and told us to slow down. And I said, we were only trying to clean up the list. Like, we were just trying to find out, hey, does David Reese still drive that Peterbilt? Is he still alive? And does he need anything? And I said, we created a tremendous amount of business. So going back to your question, that's why we started with the heavy trucks. But we've had wonderful relationships with museums. We've had wonderful relationships with symphonies, with associations, all kinds of different businesses, from dentists to veterinarians to physiotherapy places to marinas to membership lists at golf courses. At one time, we were working with it was hundreds of golf courses across the United States, where they all had these lists of all of their members, but they had no idea who was still alive, who wasn't, whether they were still even interested in being members. And it was a very, very valuable service. So any company that has some sort of a list, or any charitable donation that has some sort of a list, union lists, they all have one thing in common, David. Everybody that has a list, all their lists are a disaster. The best list we ever worked on was 60% completely messed up.
That's a good one. I like that. So now, as you well know, the industry is changing in the nonprofit space. A lot of nonprofits are struggling, trying to figure out what they're going to do next because of the fact that they're not getting the same amount of funding. You mentioned something briefly about getting a list. Do you feel that in this time when nonprofits are looking to find their sponsors or find their donors, would you help them, or how can you help them?
Well, I'll tell you something. we're at a very unique point in our history. All right. We really are. We are the most connected we've ever been, but the most disconnected people-wise than ever before, and it shows. We've seen it over and over again in our work and the reports and that we get for our clients. There's a dire need for human connections. We work with symphonies and museums. We worked with a symphony a little while ago, and it sounds like a horrible thing to say, but almost everybody we called was a little old lady. It was incredible how happy they were. Like, we had these people saying, oh my God, I can't believe the symphony is calling me. My husband first took me there in 1952, and the feedback we got. And then we had people at the end of those calls talking about, I didn't even know what legacy giving was until we had people asking, how do I leave part of my estate to the symphony? And it was just a nice feeling. And you're not going to get that with AI. You're not going to get that with a robocall. You just aren't.
No, that is where I was going with this, because like I said, here in Florida, or here in our country, U.S., we're having that issue with the government cutting a lot of that funding. So again, you in Canada may not have that same situation, but you do have a situation with contacting people. So I definitely want to make sure that our listeners understand, especially my nonprofit executives, to make sure that they're in contact with you to find out some strategies that you can lay out. I know every nonprofit, every group is different, and we've talked about that. But not only nonprofits, you indicated earlier with Peterbilt, some of the existing businesses, I think you shared with me earlier, a lot of the people that you have come across find out they're no longer alive. Can you elaborate on how you work that issue?
David, I'm going to tell you something, and this is a big problem. This is a really big problem. Like, we've tried to get this through to people. We've actually called heavy truck dealers for heavy truck customers, where we found out that the person had died 25 years before, and he's still getting oil change requests, still getting promotions from the dealership, from the head office, from the manufacturer, 25 years after the guy passed away. And like, we've had situations where, well, here's a good one. We had a lawyer a little while ago. He gave us 6,000 clients to update. And he said, Sean, I just wrote out 6,000 Christmas cards. It's my last year. I'm selling the firm. I'm going to give it to a younger guy, but I don't want to give him a bad list. So we went out after those 6,000 clients. It was a real simple thing, you know, just, hey, we're calling for David Reese. He's retiring. He just wanted to update his list, right? This is the new fellow that's going to be buying. It was all a really nice, fluffy story. The only problem was, David, out of the 6,000 clients he had, only 59 were still alive. 59, not 590, not 5,900, 59. All right. So when we were calling those people and we were getting a hold of literally thousands of widows and widowers, we remember there was one lady. She said, can you do me a favor? Can you please take him off your list? Her husband, she said, he died several years ago. And she said, when I receive these Christmas cards, I don't just relive losing them. I relive the chemo that didn't work. I relive the hospice visits. I relive that we had to have a full-time nurse, that we had a hospital bed in our living room. So please take him off your list. And so it's a very valuable service that we do. Like, people should not, it's got to be trillions of dollars around the world of companies sending stuff to deceased people. And it really hurts their families. It's one of our closest things to our heart that we tell our people, for God's sakes, stop sending stuff to deceased people, because we get to hear all the sad stories. Mm.
Well, I know that's sad, as you indicated. But again, you shared with us some of your clients.
Yep.
How do we, as here in beautiful South Florida, get to do business with you? What would you suggest? How do we reach you? All that good stuff. Please take time to share that. And then before you get started, what events or things you're doing here in beautiful South Florida that we can take full advantage of?
Well, I'll tell you what, David, part of that is going to be down to you. It's hard for me to choose what type of chamber of commerce or what business or what type of organization and that we might be able to share our story with. This has been a wonderful opportunity. There's no doubt about it, right? But to get a hold of us, we're very easy to find. It's tuffordgroup.com. My email address is Sean, spelled like Sean Connery, Sean@tuffordgroup.com. We have a fantastic video on YouTube. And if you just look up Tufford Group on YouTube, we had Stark Creative, really good friend of mine, he tells our story better than we do. I have family that lives right in Broward County. As a matter of fact, I'm going to visit my Aunt Carol this Sunday. I've got people I consider family up in Stewart that I'm going to visit next week. I'm in South Florida quite often, and I would be more than happy to talk to somebody. They can call me directly. My phone number, even when I'm in Florida, is area code 902-818-8807, and I'll pick it up. I'm available on the telephone, on WhatsApp, and I'm easy to find. And I'm also, I find that the more I help, the luckier I get. So if somebody calls me, and even if we don't do business, I'll do everything in my power to help them and their organization or whatever things that they're doing, because the more I help, the luckier I get. And because I hold that philosophy, you've said that a couple of times, philosophy, I'm very active on LinkedIn. As a matter of fact, David, would you believe I've already had 12 million hits on my LinkedIn this year?
Wow.
So I'm on track for at least 24 million. And honestly, I've had people call me. I've shared with them, what do you do? We update your contact list one contact at a time. That's what our company does. And sometimes the person will say, I only have 22 customers, but I love what you do, and I'd love to introduce you to a friend of mine. And all of a sudden, I end up with three or four clients, and it isn't even the person that called me. But I have a giver's heart. I really care about people. And so anybody that calls me, even if we don't do business, I'm going to do whatever I can in my power to help that person.
It's funny you bring that up. We have a group here in the BNI group, which calls Givers Get and Givers Gain type of scenario, where the people are really focused on helping the business that they're in with their group to do more business with one another, and also to kind of refer. So it becomes that kind of necessary love that they can take full advantage of from that standpoint. But I got to ask one last question before we wrap up, because as you know, this happens to me constantly. You get in good, you start finding out more about what you're doing and how things are going. The question I'm going to ask is, where do you see the Tuffett Group going in the next 2, 3, maybe even 5 years? If you can share that with my listeners.
My friend, we are doing something right now that I am so unbelievably proud of. All right. Yes, we have a great business. Yes, we've had lots of stumbling blocks when we first started, but boy, we have this thing set now. We have a rock solid foundation. What we're doing in the next few years, never mind the next few years, we're doing this literally right now, is that we have an opportunity here. I'm a public company guy. David, I'm not going to baloney you. If I really wanted to grow this business, right? I could find a shell out there somewhere, take this thing public. I've already been offered $3 million to be able to move this thing forward. And I asked the investment banker, well, what would we do with the $3 million? And he said, well, the first thing we'll do is we'll take out a $2 million ad on Fox News or something. He said, you got the greatest business I've ever heard of. He said, nobody else is doing this. And I'm telling you, it wasn't easy, David. We had to make a lot of mistakes. But I was in a unique position, a younger version of me. I probably would have taken the darn money. But at 57, here's the thing. Could I raise $2 million to take out one great big gigantic ad on Fox News? Absolutely, 100%. I'd have no trouble raising the money at all. I'm a public company guy. All right. The problem with that is it doesn't help some little guy right now. And I know this might sound corny, but we have a business right now. We call it the Connector Program. All right. So I know that there's some retired guy or retired woman out there who maybe can't be the road warrior anymore. They might have 200 customers that they serviced for 30 years and all of those companies that they used to service would love to be able to help David Reese, let's say, if you were that guy. So we've created a program. It pays $400 for any of those referrals that ever turn into a customer. And it's not just for the 1 month, it's for as long as we have that client. So my idea here is that I would rather give our advertising dollars to somebody that referred me to somebody. Now, in saying that, this is no scheme, pyramid thing, Amway thing, not knocking Amway, but you know what I'm saying, right? It's no pyramid thing. All it is that if somebody likes our business, And they share it with somebody that they care about, that they say, hey, listen, you know what? You've had a business for 35 years. How many customers you got? Oh, about 40,000. Do you know how many of them are alive or dead? No, it's probably a mess. I've got this friend of mine who has this company that all they do is clean up that list. They don't have to sell it, David. They don't have to present it. They don't have to close it. They don't have to anything. So if I call that person and I say, hey, Glenn, how you doing? Your friend David referred me. Yeah, David tried to explain what you do. You clean up lists or something like that. It's either a problem for him or it isn't. But it's our closing ratio is absolutely through the roof when it's a friend referring a friend. There's no big pitch. There's no big close. Somebody either has a list that they know is a disaster and they want to do something about it, or they don't. There's no big hard clothes or anything else. And my goal right now is to have people all over North America, because people are hurting, David. They really are. Yesterday I heard on the radio, because our kids here have a breakfast program in Nova Scotia. The problem is when summer break comes out, the kids aren't eating breakfast anymore. So we got starving kids out there. I'm not trying to be the Pollyanna of this business, right? I don't need it. I could very easily take the company public, raise all the money, instantly have 100 more clients than what we already have. But I would much rather there's a single mom somewhere in Broward or Dade County that says, my God, if I could just make an extra $400 a month, it would literally change my life. And she might know 30 businesses in her hometown back in Iowa. It doesn't even have to be in Broward County. She could come back and say, oh, my God, I know my whole town back in Iowa. Suddenly we have 5 clients. She's making $400 a month each on all of them. And we've changed somebody's life. So that's the direction that our company's going over the next weeks and months. Never mind years. I want to really try to help people.
I love it, Sean. But as I told you, time is gone. I don't know if I have enough time left to at least get you into the time that we've allocated. But definitely we will have you back on, or what we'll do is look at what we can do to help you. I will definitely make a commitment to help you, at least what chambers, what organizations you need.
Sure thing.
We'll make that happen as well. So again, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Sean Tumfert of the Tumfert Group, and he is a business leader for this particular organization. Please reach out to him or reach out to me, and we'll get you in contact. Again, God bless and have a great day.
This podcast was powered by Dex Imaging.
If you would like to sponsor the show or be a guest on the show, please contact me, David N. Reese, and the number is 954-658-2196. Once again, 954-658-2196. Or feel free to email me at David N. Reese, that's spelled D-A-V-I-D, N-R-E-E-C-E, at email.com. See you next time. And I've been taking care of business
every day. Taking care of business everywhere. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.